Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Tuesday, July 19th, 2022. Coming up this hour,
Apple joins the list of companies putting a lid on hiring.
IBM shares drop on earnings. Netflix reports today.
President Biden is said to be considering declaring a climate emergency.
And gas prices fall for a 35th straight day, hitting a two-month low.
A massive thunderstorm and flooding rains wreak havoc on parts of the city. I'm John Tucker. That story straight ahead.
I'm John Stanshauer in sports. Pete Alonso dethroned Juan Soto, won the home run derby in L.A., where the All-Star game takes place tonight.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. And U.S. stock index futures on the rise this morning. We're coming up to 6:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are up about 26 points. Dow futures up 157. And NASDAQ futures up about 73. The 10-year Treasury, little change, yield 2.98%, and the yield on the 2-year, 3.16%. And NYMEX crude oil is down 0.3%. Nathan.
Karen, we begin with a growing number of companies clamping down on hiring. It's a trend showing up in firms from tech to banking. Let's get the latest live from Bloomberg's Renita Young. Good morning, Renita.
Good morning, Nathan. Bloomberg sources say Apple is putting a lid on hiring to limit spending. Leaders have not adopted a company-wide policy, but this more cautious approach mimics moves by Amazon and Microsoft. And it's more evidence that even Silicon Valley is worried about an impending recession. Now, Goldman Sachs also plans to slow hiring to rein in expenses. CFO Dennis Coleman says Goldman could also reduce the pace of replacing staff it loses because of attrition and will reinstate annual performance reviews. Live in New York, I'm Renita Young, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Renita, thank you. We're also seeing a tepid outlook from another big name in tech. Shares of IBM are down about 5% in early trading. The company is lowering forecasts for free cash flow this year due to the impact of a strong dollar and the loss of business in Russia. Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett has more.
The revision overshadowed results that topped analyst estimates, signaling that demand for mainframe computers, consulting, and cloud services remains strong amid concerns of a pullback in tech spending. IBM said it estimates free cash flow of $10 billion this year, at the low end of a previous range of $10 to $10.5 billion. Chief Financial Officer Jim Cavanaugh said the reduced range is not a result of a broader business slowdown. In New York, Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Charlie, thank you. Earnings continue to roll in with 10 companies in the S&P 500 reporting today. This afternoon, we hear from Netflix. Bloomberg's Tom Busby has a preview.
Well, the key for investors will be subscriber losses for the second quarter, which the streaming giant predicted could total 2 million in its previous earnings report in April when it announced its first ever subscriber losses. Also of note, whether the blowout success of the latest season of Stranger Things may have helped Netflix keep some subscribers, and its new crackdown on password sharing now in effect in 5 Latin American markets. Bloomberg Consensus calls for earnings per share of $2.91, revenues of just over $8 billion. Tom Busby, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Tom, thank you. Now to the latest in Twitter's legal dispute with Elon Musk. Twitter is dismissing Musk's complaints that he does not have enough information about spam and robot accounts. The company calls it an irrelevant sideshow and wants a judge to hold a trial as soon as possible over Musk's cancellation of his $44 billion takeover.
Watching Bitcoin rise this morning, Karen, but it's off its highs for the day. In fact, earlier, Bitcoin almost hit 23,000. The cryptocurrency has struggled to escape a 19 to 22,000 range as investors lick their wounds from the recent rout. Martin Chavez from Sixth Street Partners says the time has come to finally regulate the crypto market.
Regrettably, we usually wait until some calamity before there is regulation. And the question is always, was this calamity big enough or does there need to be another leg down before we have the appropriate regulation?
Martin Chavez at Sixth Street Partners made the comments in an interview on Bloomberg Television. We'll have more on the future of Bitcoin throughout the day as the Bloomberg Crypto Summit gets underway in New York.
Well, turning to the global economy now, Nathan, pressure is building on the European Central Bank. Sources say the ECB may consider raising interest rates by more than expected this week because of the worsening inflation backdrop. Sources say the central bank may raise rates by 50 basis points on Thursday. That's double the 25-point hike it outlined just last month.
Well, back here in the U.S., Karen, prices at the pump keep dropping. In fact, they've fallen for 35 straight days, hitting a two-month low. AAA says the nationwide average is just below $4.50 a gallon. Prices have fallen more than 10% since hitting a record last month.
Climate change in focus at the White House, Nathan. President Biden is reportedly considering declaring a climate emergency as soon as this week. Details now from Bloomberg's Amy Morris from our 99.1 newsroom in Washington.
Senator Jeff Merkley of Oregon says climate legislation has no chance to get through Congress. Instead, he says the president should use the full powers of the executive branch to declare an emergency, which would give him the authority to redirect funds for clean energy projects or restrict offshore drilling and could even curtail the transport of fossil fuels. And now sources are telling the Washington Post that Biden is expected to announce additional actions aimed at curbing emissions as soon as this week. In Washington, I'm Amy Morris. Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Amy, thank you. Let's turn to Capitol Hill now, where computer chips are in focus. The Senate wants to quickly pass $52 billion in grants and incentives for American semiconductor makers. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer says Democrats and Republicans are hashing out the final details. The legislation is a scaled-down version of a larger bill intended to make the U.S. technology sector more competitive with China.
Well, supply chain issues are also in focus this morning, Nathan. Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen is calling on so-called trusted U.S. allies to help fix the supply chain. Speaking in South Korea, Yellen called on U.S. partners to strengthen trade relationships with what she calls friendshoring.
Friendshoring is about deepening relationships and diversifying our supply chains. With a greater number of trusted trading partners, the purpose is to lower risks for our economy and theirs.
Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen singled out China as a country on which the U.S. and others should be less reliant. Futures this morning on the rise. S&P futures up about 30 points. Dow futures up 189. NASDAQ futures up 85. Straight ahead, your latest local headlines, plus a check of sports. This is Bloomberg.
Thanks, Karen. 607 on Wall Street, 73 degrees in Central Park as we get ready for a heat wave. And we're still dealing with an accident investigation on the westbound Belt Parkway. More coming up in traffic. First, John Tucker with more on what's going on in New York and around the world. John?
Nathan, a powerful thunderstorm swept over New York City yesterday afternoon, swamping highways, flooding trade lines, and casting the evening commute into sudden disarray. The heavy rains caused a massive sinkhole to open up in the Bronx and swallow a van. New York City's completed the first phase of a $1.45 billion project to fortify a section of Lower Manhattan along the East River that was devastated by Hurricane Sandy. The Eastside Coastal Resiliency Project will elevate parkland along the East River, stretching 2.4 miles. And temperatures in the U.K. set to hit a record today. And Bloomberg's Ewan Ponce joins us now from sweltering London.
Good morning, John. Today is set to be the hottest day on record in the UK, with temperatures as high as 107 degrees Fahrenheit. That follows the warmest night on record, with temperatures no lower than 78 degrees in some places. Brutal conditions have already struck India, parts of the US and Western Europe this year, but they are a particular challenge of places like Britain, which are not used to extremes of hot or cold. In London, I'm Ewan Potts, Bloomberg Daybreak.
And the January 6th committee will be extending its inquiry. That story this morning from Bloomberg's Ed Baxter.
Chair Benny Thompson says information keeps coming in. He says it includes a Secret Service tax first. He says the committee will put out a scaled-back interim report in September, which is when it was scheduled to end. He says now he will not predict a date when the final report would be issued. The committee will hold another public hearing Thursday, and then Thompson says they will decide where to go from there. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
It will take almost a lifetime, 7 decades, for U.S. colleges and universities to achieve racial parity among its freshman classes. But according to a new study by McKinsey and Company, they analyzed data from more than 3,000 institutions with enrollment of about 2.4 million first-time students. Enrollment among Black and Native American students actually declined in some cases. Global News 24 hours a day on air and a Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm John Tucker, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Thank you, John. 6:09 on Wall Street, time for the Bloomberg Sports Update with John Stashower.
Thanks, Nathan. It's ironic that Juan Soto won the Home Run Derby in Los Angeles because he is very much in the news. The 23-year-old star of the Washington Nationals just rejected a contract offer of 15 years and $440 million, and the Nats, who had been saying they were not going to trade Soto, are now entertaining trade offers. The Mets and Yankees both believed to be interested. Soto's under his current contract until after the 2024 season. By winning the Derby, Soto earned $1 million. He beat Seattle's Julio Rodriguez in the final. He won $500,000. As a rookie, he only makes $700,000 from the Mariners. The 21-year-old Rodriguez put on a show over the first two rounds with 63 home runs. Semifinal losers were the Mets' Pete Alonso, the two-time defending champ, and 42-year-old Albert Pujols, who was in the field and missed the final season of his Hall of Fame career. Clayton Kershaw headed to Cooperstown someday. Surprisingly, he's never before started an All-Star game. He'll be on the mound for the National League tonight in his home park.
I really didn't think anything of it at the time. I was like, well, yeah, it'd be fun to do it or whatever. But now that it's finally here and I get to start that game tomorrow night, it just it means a lot. And it means a lot to my family. And we're excited. Charlie's excited. My kiddos are excited. So we're gonna have a good time tomorrow. And hopefully I don't screw it up too bad.
Kershaw speaking yesterday. Tampa Bay's Shane McClanahan starts for the AL. There are six Yankees on the AL roster. Aaron Judge and Giancarlo Stanton will start in the outfield. The Mets' Jeff McNeil is the NL starting second baseman. Soccer in Mexico. U.S. over Canada 1-0 to clinch a spot in the 2024 Olympics. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
Thank you, John. Right now, S&P futures are up 30 points. Dow futures up 201. NASDAQ futures higher by 86 points. 10-year Treasury is a little changed right now. The yield 2.98%. Yield on the 2-year 3.16%. More to come, including on Apple's hiring slowdown with Bloomberg tech columnist Alex Webb. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg 11:30 weather, sunny and hot today, tomorrow, and the next day. We're getting into a heat wave here with highs into the low to mid 90s. Right now, 73 in Central Park.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Stocks are stabilizing as investors assess the outlook for global growth amid Europe's deepening energy crisis, hawkish central banks, and slumping earnings estimates. The dollar is falling against all of its group of 10 peers. U.S. stock index futures, meanwhile, are higher in the wake of another reversal for the S&P 500 yesterday on Apple's plans to slow hiring. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up 33 points, Dow futures up 214. NASDAQ futures up 98. The DAX in Germany is little change. 10-year Treasury, little change. Yield 2.98%. The yield on the 2-year, 3.16%. NYMEX crude oil is down 0.1% or 12 cents at $102.48 a barrel. COMEX gold is up 0.1% or $2 at $17.12.20 an ounce. The euro, 1.0252 against the dollar. British pound, 1.2021. And the yen, 137.56. Bitcoin is up 1.8% at $21,870. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's John Tucker with more on what's going on around the world. John.
And Karen, Senate Democrats urging the White House to declare a climate emergency. The House committee investigating the January 6th attack on the Capitol, which had planned to finish its inquiry by September, will instead keep operating beyond that because more information keeps coming in. And China vowing to take a resolute and strong response to any Taiwan visit by House Speaker Nancy Pelosi. Sports, the national superstar Juan Soto winning the Home Run Derby at the baseball All-Star game And we have global news 24 hours a day on air. And a Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm John Tucker. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
All right, John, thank you. It is 6:19 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. Let's get back to our top story this morning. The growing trend in the tech and financial sectors, with now Apple adding itself to it, slowing hiring and spending. Let's bring back Alex Webb for more on this. Bloomberg Quick Take anchor, tech columnist for Bloomberg Opinion. Alex, as you know, we saw tech stocks lead the declines yesterday on that news from Apple. What kind of slowdown could we be looking at from the iPhone maker?
Ultimately, this is the corollary of the inflationary environment. Apple is in the business of selling $1,000 a pop just electronic devices. As discretionary income gets increasingly squeezed, it's easy to see how that might affect spending on Apple devices. Now, we've seen the other tech companies cutting jobs, and that's largely been to do with the broader economic conditions, which mean that the first thing companies cut is their marketing spend. Apple is a little bit different. It is very much to do with direct consumer appetites for their products.
Yeah, so this is raising the question in the market once again about not just the inflationary pressures, Alex, but whether we could potentially be heading into a recession here if we do start to see more of those consumers who have come to rely on iPhones and other products from Apple not necessarily to upgrade as they're getting squeezed even further.
We've seen over the past 5-6 years a gradual increase in the amount of time that people keep their phones. Maybe 5 years ago, it was only every sort of 2 years or so that people would upgrade to the latest handset. That's now extended to 3 years, and the general direction of travel is going further than that. Now, Apple has managed to diversify its revenue quite substantially into services, you know, things like Apple TV Plus, Apple Music, Fitness Plus, all these things where it gets more dependable income over longer periods of time. And the other huge benefit of that is it ties consumers more keenly to their Apple devices. So there is still expectation that people will upgrade. The risk of them churning into, you know, trading their iPhones for Android devices isn't necessarily any greater right now, but it's just generally that people maybe aren't going to be spending as much on electronic devices as a whole.
So is the thinking then that as Apple starts to think about what it's doing in terms of its spending, that it's going to make another pivot once again from services or from goods to services as part of its overall strategy?
That has been going at a real clip anyway. Several years ago, 75% of their revenue came from the iPhone. Now it's less than 60%. So they have succeeded in doing that quite well. The other point that you can make here is, look, they are not freezing all spending. They are slowing spending in some divisions and slowing headcount, slowing hiring in some divisions. And you could also look at it as a way of, you know, sometimes companies use these sort of economic environments as a cover, as an excuse, as a reason to go, actually, let's just rein things in a little bit. We've maybe got a little bit out of control over the past few years. I'm not saying that Apple has got out of control, but it is a good opportunity just to recalibrate, retrench, and not get the sort of massive blowback from your employees that might otherwise be the case.
Well, put this in the context, Alex, of what we've seen from other companies as they've been announcing slowdowns in hiring and spending as well, particularly Netflix, as they're getting ready to report earnings after the closing bell today.
When you think about any of these companies, you look at the lifetime value of your customers. And for Netflix, there had been an expectation in growing perception that it was really a utility, that if anybody was interested in watching, you know, sort of televisual content, they would have Netflix. And that was the base layer upon which you would then add other streaming services if you so desired. What we've started to see is that's not necessarily the case. It is losing subscribers. The expectation is that it loses 2 million subscribers globally. The only region in which we'll add subscribers is Asia. The inference of that, that's about 1% of their total subscriber count. But the inference is then that, like, maybe Netflix is discretionary spending. It is not a utility. And so, you know, there's a function of the greater competition in that space, but which in turn then means that Netflix's content perhaps isn't as appealing as people thought it was once.
Yeah, interesting to think about the competition growing for Netflix, including from Apple TV Plus, as they're dominating the news this morning with the reports of a hiring and spending slowdown over at Apple. Thanks for this, Alex. As always, great having you on with us. Alex Webb, Bloomberg Opinion tech columnist and anchor at Bloomberg Quick Take. Of course, you can check Alex out anytime, Bloomberg.com/QuickTake. Right now, S&P futures up 32 points, Dow futures up 205, NASDAQ futures higher by 97 points. The 10-year Treasury right now, little changed for a yield of 2.98%. Yield on the two-year right now, 3.16%. NYMEX crude moving a bit lower, down a half percent or 56 cents to $102.04 a barrel. Just ahead, more on Apple's hiring and spending slowdown and even higher interest rate hikes coming from the ECB this week. We'll tell you more about that as we get the five things you need to know to start your day just ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. Bloomberg 11:30 weather, sunny and hot, low 90s today, mid-90s tomorrow, mid-90s Thursday, with a chance for afternoon showers and storms by then. Right now, 73 in Central Park.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130. To Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 99.1. To Boston, Bloomberg 1061. To San Francisco, Bloomberg 960. To the country, Sirius XM Channel 119. And around the globe, the Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
It's 6:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We are just about 3 hours away from the open of U.S. trading. Time for the five things you need to know to start your day. Brought to you by Interactive Brokers, simple IBKR Global Trader app. Deposit in your local currency and trade stocks in the U.S., Europe, and Asia. Start your free trial at IBKR.com/globaltrader. Up first, we begin with a growing number of companies putting a clamp down on hiring. It's a trend showing up in firms from tech to banking. We get the latest live from Bloomberg's Renita Young. Good morning, Renita.
Good morning, Karen. Apple is joining its fellow tech giants in putting a lid on hiring. Bloomberg sources say Apple wants to limit spending and job growth at some of its divisions, although leaders have not adopted a company-wide policy. This more cautious approach mimics moves by Amazon and Microsoft. Meantime, Goldman Sachs also plans to slow hiring to rein in expenses. CFO Dennis Coleman says Goldman could also produce or reduce the pace of replacing staff it loses because of attrition, and will reinstate annual performance reviews. Live in New York, I'm Renita Young, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Hi, Renita. Thanks. Sticking with tech, the war of words continues between Twitter and Elon Musk. The company's calling Musk's complaints about spam and robot accounts an irrelevant sideshow. Twitter wants a trial soon over Musk's cancellation of his takeover.
Nathan, in crypto markets this morning, Bitcoin is continuing its rise, nearly touching 23,000. Sheila Warren, Crypto Innovation Council CEO, has more on the recent rally.
I know that we're waiting for a calamity. I find that a bit dramatic. I mean, I think we've seen a number of cycles and waves in this industry. And you know, I've been in this space for 7 years now, and this is not the first time we've seen a big crash followed by a quick rally. And I think that we are starting to see a little bit of that rally start to happen and more consumer confidence in these alternative assets.
Crypto Innovation Council CEO Sheila Warren spoke to Emily Chang on Bloomberg Technology. Catch Emily's daily Bloomberg Tech podcast weeknights wherever you get your podcasts.
Overseas, Karen, Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen's taking aim at Beijing, singling out China as a country on which the U.S. and others should be less reliant.
We cannot allow countries like China to use their market position in key raw materials, technologies, or products to disrupt our economy or exercise unwanted geopolitical leverage.
Speaking in South Korea, Treasury Secretary Yellen also called on trusted U.S. allies to help fix supply chain issues.
And over in Europe today, government bonds flipped to losses in response to headlines on the European Central Bank. Sources telling Bloomberg the ECB may now consider a half-point rate hike this week. Johnson & Johnson lowering its forecast for the year. That just crossing the Bloomberg. It did beat analyst estimates for second quarter earnings and shares up 1% in early trading. This is Bloomberg.
All right, Karen, thank you. 6:33 on Wall Street, 73 degrees in Central Park. Could see some lingering delays on the Belt Parkway, but they've cleared the accident investigation at Pennsylvania Avenue. We'll tell you more in traffic. First, John Tucker has more on what's going on in New York and around the world. Good morning, John.
And good morning, Nathan. Senate Democrats are urging the White House to declare a climate emergency. Such a move would give President Biden broad executive authority to redirect funds for clean energy projects or restrict offshore oil drilling. It comes as Democrats dismiss any optimism that a climate change package could be moved swiftly through Congress come September. A funding agreement's been reached for the multi-billion dollar redevelopment of New York's aging Penn Station. That story from Bloomberg's Jeff Bellinger.
It is the country's busiest rail hub and in dire need of renovation. The plan would create new commercial and residential buildings around the station, with those buildings' developers getting to make payments in lieu of taxes for a period of 40 to 45 years. The amount collected in excess of existing property taxes would be applied to the project. The plan calls for a large single-level train hall with higher ceilings and a 450-foot-long skylight to replace the current cramped, windowless interior. Jeff Bellinger, Bloomberg Daybreak.
House Speaker Nancy Pelosi plans to make a landmark visit to Taiwan next month. That story in this report from Bloomberg's Amy Morris.
The Financial Times reports Pelosi will lead a delegation to Taipei in August. It comes despite Chinese warnings that the trip could escalate tensions between Washington and Beijing. At the same time, there are talks by top aides to President Biden and Chinese counterpart Xi Jinping in preparation for a possible conversation between the two leaders. China has ramped up military activity around Taiwan to signal its displeasure with past high-profile visits. No sitting U.S. speaker has visited Taiwan since Newt Gingrich traveled to the island in 1997. In Washington, I'm Amy Morris, Bloomberg Daybreak.
And global news 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take. We're powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm John Tucker, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
All right, John. Thanks a lot. It is 6:35 on Wall Street. Time to check the Bloomberg Sports Update with John Stashower.
All right, Nathan, the baseball All-Star game tonight, Dodger Stadium, where they had the home run derby last night. Seven guys in their 20s, plus 42-year-old Albert Pujols, who's in the final season of his career. He upset the top seed, Kyle Schwarber, in overtime, but then lost to Juan Soto, who then knocked off Seattle rookie Julio Rodriguez in the final. Rodriguez literally half Pujols' age. He was amazing over the first two rounds, belting out 32 and 31 homers. He dethroned the Mets' Pete Alonso in the semis. Alonso denied a home run derby three-peat. The 23-year-old Soto wins $1 million just after he rejected a contract offer from Washington for $440 million over 15 years. ESPN reported last night the Nationals are now expected to trade Soto before the upcoming deadline. The Mets and Yankees both interested. Three Mets, six Yankees on the All-Star rosters for tonight. Aaron Judge got the most votes of anyone.
That's a pretty big honor. It shows that, you know, a lot of fans support you, and I wouldn't be here without their constant support, you know, motivating me to go out there and do my best. You know, they're who I play for. You know, it's the fans, you know, always. You know, I want to go out there and, leave it all on the field for them. So, you know, being the top vote-getter is that's a pretty special honor.
Starting pitchers tonight, Tampa Bay, Shane McClanahan for the American League, Clayton Kershaw for the NL in his home park. Mark McGwire's son, drafted in the eighth round by the Phillies. He's a high school pitcher in California, may instead go to college. Talks broke down. There will not be a merger between the Big 12 and Pac-12 conferences. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
Okay, John, thank you. 6:37 on Wall Street. Time now to take a look at stocks. Some of the names moving in the pre-market. For that, we turn to Bloomberg Radio and TV Markets correspondent Kriti Gupta. Kriti, Karen just mentioned the earnings from Johnson & Johnson crossing the Bloomberg terminal moments ago. Very interesting investor reaction to them.
Very interesting investor reaction. The shares are up about 1% in the pre-market. J&J is your ticker. But check out what's actually underneath the hood here. Pretty solid growth. Total sales growth about 3%. Operational growth about 8%. And if you even adjust that, it goes up to 8.1%. So a lot of good news there. Medical devices worldwide sales grew 3.4%. Pharmaceuticals, too, up 12.4%. Basically, across all of their kind of growth platforms, you are seeing an increase in their sales. Here's what you're not seeing. Confidence that this is going to continue. The idea that by the end of the year, you're going to see the same kind of momentum. So in fact, they actually trimmed their full year outlook, and they're actually citing some of those dollar pressures. Remember, a lot of these sales are counted as worldwide sales. It's not just here in the United States. So I think it's interesting, Nathan, that here we are talking about Johnson & Johnson alongside the likes of Microsoft, Nike, McDonald's, about the pressures that you're seeing with the dollar in particular. And they just cited that as one of the reasons they trimmed their outlook.
Yeah, very interesting to see that as well. And we've got a lot of tech headlines crossing this morning. We've been talking, of course, about the Apple story, but it looks like China's probe into their answer to Uber may be coming to a big close here.
It is coming to a big close. And this is interesting. The Wall Street Journal reporting here that Didi is going to get fined. I believe it's $1 billion. This is huge, as we know that for a very long time, we were seeing a lot of scrutiny for Chinese tech in particular. But it was there was kind of this relief built into the market, the idea that a lot of these Chinese ADRs, the likes of JD, Alibaba, for example, well, they were all going to perhaps get a little bit of an easier treatment, for lack of a better term, from China. The idea here being that that regulatory scrutiny was driving so many foreign investors away from some of these companies. That seems to at least have gotten some investors back into Chinese ADR. So, for example, Alibaba shares, BABA, that's actually up 0.5%. But Didi, we know, has already been delisted from the U.S. market. Nevertheless, watch this space, because here's where you could perhaps see some read-through into some of the other ADRs, just based off the idea that Didi is getting fined $1 billion.
In our last 30 seconds or so here, how's Netflix doing ahead of earnings today?
Oh, this is such a widely watched event, not just because Netflix is this major tech name, but also because this is kind of a proxy for what you're going to see with the broader economy. Are people going to continue to spend on those subscriptions? Well, it looks like there's a little bit of optimism baked into the market at the moment. NFLX is your ticker, up 1.5% in the pre-market. This is important as we talk about simply how much of their ad-based businesses are really going to start picking up. Remember, this was one of their main sticking points in their last earnings call, that they are now going to pivot from having commercials into their business and ads, and that's how they're going to make up some of the revenue that they're getting, or losing, I should say, from some of their content production. How they're going to do and how successful that strategy is, we'll find out today.
Yeah, it's going to be a very interesting call after the bell this afternoon. Bloomberg Radio and TV markets correspondent Kriti Gupta with us, as always, in the pre-market. Looking at stocks as a whole, futures are surging right now. S&P futures up 36 points. That's a gain of almost 1%. Dow futures up 232. NASDAQ futures higher by 114 points. That is a gain of about 1%. The 10-year Treasury is now down 1/32nd, yield 2.99% on the benchmark 10-year note. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg 11:30 weather. Temp surging too. We'll be in the low 90s today, mid-90s tomorrow and Thursday. Welcome to the heat wave. Right now, 73 in Central Park.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Futures are on the rise this morning. We go to the first word breaking news desk for today's morning call. And here's Bill Maloney. Bill, good morning.
And good morning, Karen. That's right. U.S. futures with a bid right now. Dow futures up 220 points. S&P's gained 35. And NASDAQ futures rise by 110. The U.S. 10-year yield at 2.99%. Gold is up 5. Oil is in the red. And Bitcoin is higher by 1.7%. Shanghai was a little changed overnight, while European markets are posting modest gains this morning. And back in the U.S. on the economic front at 8:30, housing starts. After the bell last night, IBM cut its annual forecast for free cash flow due to the strong dollar. And regarding earnings this morning, J&J lowered its guidance due to the dollar's strength. In other news, Bank of America's Global Fund Manager survey shows that investors are in full capitulation. And wrapping things up, ExxonMobil was raised to overweight over at Piper. Live from the First of Breaking News Desk, I'm Bill Maloney. Karen?
All right, Bill, thank you. And to hear live breaking news over your Bloomberg, type squawk on your terminal, S-Q-U-A-W-K. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's John Tucker with more on what's going on around the world. John?
Good morning, Karen. Senate Democrats urging the White House to declare a climate emergency. Such a move would give the president broad executive authority to redirect funds for clean energy projects. And the House committee investigating the January 6th attack on the U.S. Capitol, which had planned to finish its inquiry by September, will instead keep operating beyond that date. And China vowing to take a resolute and strong response to any Taiwan visit by U.S. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi. Sports, the Washington Nationals superstar Juan Soto winning the home run derby at the Major League Baseball All-Star Game. Global news 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm John Tucker, and this is Bloomberg. Karen.
All right, John, thank you. And it's 6:49 on Wall Street. We turn to news and science and technology now with a Bloomberg NJIT STEM report brought to you by New Jersey Institute of Technology, ranked a top 50 national public university by U.S. News and World Report, and number 14 in the nation on Money's Best Colleges list. Learn more at njit.edu. And now here's what's making news in science, technology, engineering, and math. In China, the number of new cases of coronavirus increased. Nearly 700 infections were reported Monday, the highest number in almost 2 months. More infectious strains of the virus are testing China's hardline approach as outbreaks spread beyond major cities. A drive in the Senate to quickly pass $52 billion in grants and incentives for American semiconductor makers has picked up steam in Congress. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer says the Democrats and Republicans are hashing out the final details. The legislation is a scaled-down version of a larger bill intended to make the U.S. more competitive with China in technology. And the Pentagon says the U.S. will spend $1.3 billion to develop advanced satellites that'll be able to better track hypersonic missile threats. Hypersonic weapons are defined as anything traveling beyond Mach 5 or 5 times faster than the speed of sound. That's about 3,800 miles per hour. And that's the Bloomberg NJIT STEM report. Nathan.
Okay, Karen, thank you. We're live from the Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studios. We're at 6:50 on Wall Street. Time now to check what's going on in D.C. Some of the top stories in our nation's capital include that CHIPS bill picking up steam in the Senate. Also making news, Senate Democrats urging President Biden to declare a climate emergency. Witnesses set for the next January 6th primetime hearing. And China warning of a grave impact if House Speaker Nancy Pelosi visits Taiwan. Let's bring in Bloomberg government reporter Emily Wilkins for more on all these stories. Emily, good morning. Let's start with what we're hearing about the idea that President Biden could think at least about declaring a climate emergency, even as we see this red headline cross the Bloomberg terminal from the UK that the temperature there has hit its highest level on record. This is obviously not just a political issue. It's a real life issue.
I mean, Nathan, I feel like headlines like this, they've just become so much more commonplace in recent years, hearing about these high temperatures, these big disasters, these reports from climate scientists saying that time is running out and that urgent action is needed now. You know, for a while, Democrats were staking their hopes on that reconciliation package. They'd be able to pass hundreds of billions in tax credits for clean energy. But ever since Senator Joe Manchin said that that can't be a part of the package for now until he sees inflation go down, Democrats have decided that their next strategy is going to be turning to President Biden and seeing if he can use his executive powers to declare a climate emergency. Now, remember, presidents do have these emergency powers. We saw former President Trump use them to sort of fund that border wall between the U.S. and Mexico. The idea is that Biden could use a climate emergency to do things like restrict offshore drilling, redirect funding for clean energy product, and halt crude oil exports. Now, the White House has said that they're still looking at this idea, that they haven't come to a decision yet and don't have any plans for an announcement at this time. But the Washington Post said an announcement could come as soon as this week. Democrats really don't have too many more options for what they can do from a legislative stance. And they think that they need to do something and do something big so that their supporters will realize how serious they are about addressing climate change and hoping that that will be reflected in the numbers that we see come out for the midterms.
Yeah, it's interesting also, Emily, to see the president thinking about making a declaration like this when he's just come back from very hot Saudi Arabia looking for some concessions there on boosting fossil fuels. It's a really interesting dance that the president is trying to play here.
Yeah, it just shows the fact that you've got multiple pressures on Biden right now, that he's trying to live up to the campaign promises he made to address climate, that he's trying to address the long-term issue of climate. But in the short term, you can't deny that many Americans are being hurt as a result of these high gas prices and the subsequent inflation for it. And so you're really kind of in this situation where you have to try to be addressing both the short term and the long term at the same time. And that that's really leading to some of these pressures that we're seeing on Biden and kind of this, as you mentioned, this dance between today we're going to be focused on, you know, increasing oil production, and today we're going to be focused on the environment and clean energy policies.
All right, there's a lot going on in D.C. So let's get a progress report real quickly on the CHIPS bill in the Senate. Could that get passed this week?
So there'll be a procedural vote today, and then there's another procedural vote later this week. We might be able to see things expedited, but I think at this point, it's not quite clear. It'll either be this week or next week for passage. Assuming, of course, that we do have the votes to go forward, that's looking good at this point. There's a lot of support for this bill on both sides of the aisle. Remember, they've parted way down from that initial bill that was focused on U.S. manufacturing, research, development, and competitiveness against China. So right now, you're just seeing a focus on this piece that has more than $50 billion going towards semiconductors and producing those in the U.S. You've also seen House leadership say that they are ready to move that bill through the House as soon as it comes. And while there's certainly disappointment that there are many aspects not in that overall bill, right now the sense is that this is something that needs to happen quickly. Interesting to note, though, that you are seeing some opposition from the Wall Street Journal's op-ed board, noting that, you know, this industry is not where it was a year ago, that they have had time to double up on supply, that it's come closer to meeting demand. And they exactly suggested that this bill would basically amount to corporate welfare. So interesting to see if that will wind up playing a role in this debate at all, or keep some members from voting to support this.
We also have a lot of developments with the House January 6th committee. Witnesses set for what may not be the final live hearing.
Yeah, this is the thing, Nathan. I mean, they do these live hearings, they get a lot of attention, and then more people come forward. And you've seen this really impact the committee's schedule so far. And now they're even saying that their final report, which they were expecting around September, could be even pushed back later than that. You've got this primetime hearing that's going to be coming up on Thursday. Bloomberg's going to be covering it, so make sure you tune in. But we now know at least two of the folks will be hearing before the committee. Matt Pottinger, a former Deputy National Security Advisor, and Sarah Matthews, a deputy press secretary. Both of them resigned from the White House after the assault on the Capitol, meaning that they could have really an inside look at what was happening in the White House on January 6th, which is going to be the focus of the January 6th committee's next hearing.
And finally, Emily, we're getting some response from China to a reported visit coming up from House Speaker Nancy Pelosi to Taiwan.
Yeah, China is not particularly pleased about this. I mean, if you remember what happened last time that Pelosi announced a trip back in April, you heard Chinese Foreign Minister Wang Yi say that this was a malicious provocation into China's sovereignty, a gross interference in international affairs. This would be the first trip of a Speaker of the House to visit Taiwan since Newt Gingrich went more than 25 years ago. And this is coming at a time where you have heard these discussions between Beijing and Washington. It seems to be building toward another call between President Biden and President Xi. But at this point, it remains to be seen what, if any, impact a trip from Pelosi would have to the region and how China would respond.
All right. Thank you, as always. Bloomberg government reporter Emily Wilkins joining us from the nation's capital. Read more about these stories on Bloomberg.com or on the Bloomberg terminal, and listen to Bloomberg Radio in Washington, Bloomberg 99.1 and 105.7 FM HD2, where, as Emily mentioned, we will have coverage of the primetime hearing of the House January 6th committee coming up Thursday evening, 8 p.m. Wall Street time. Tune in live right here on Bloomberg Radio. Right now, S&P futures are up 32 points. Dow futures up 208. NASDAQ futures up 104 points. 10-year Treasury, little change. The yield, 2.98%. Yield on the 2-year, 3.16%. Bloomberg Surveillance is next with Tom Keene, Jonathan Farrow, and Kaylee Lines in for Lisa Abramowitz. For Karen Moscow, I'm Nathan Hager. This is Bloomberg.